Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Have you ever been in a situation where you need to search something on the internet, but it's kind of embarrassing, and you don't want people to ever find out what you're searching for? It might be like a medical thing or a personal thing or whatever. I don't know what you're up to. And you might be thinking to yourself, look, I can just go into incognito mode. But let me tell you something. Incognito mode does not hide your activity. It doesn't matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browser history, your internet service provider can see every single website you've ever visited. That's why. Even when I'm at home, I never go online without ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Now, most of the time, I don't even realize I have ExpressVPN on because it runs seamlessly in the background and it's so easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're protected. ExpressVPN is also available on all your devices. We're talking phones, computers, even your smart TV. So there's no excuse for you to not be using it. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by CNET and Mashable. Visit our exclusive link, expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet, and get an extra 3 months free on a 1 year package. That's expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet. expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet to learn more. This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Before we get into the show, Mason, can I very quickly talk about the clothing brand Rare Antiquities?
Oh, who started that brand, Jack?
Well, the reason I mention is because Matt, or Resdolph, as you might know him from Twitter, he edits for us. He edits videos together. He's one of the editors who works with us.
That's right.
What he's done, he's put together this clothing brand, which is like a homage to great movie like titles and things like that. And so if you imagine, for example, Mason, the Rare Antiquities is in like the font. It's like an Indiana Jones style, like,
oh, yes.
Rare Antiquities. He's got a t-shirt that just says McClunky in the blue Star Wars font. It's a terrific website. I'll link it below if you do want to check it out. So yeah, the first product line of it has dropped. Please check it out. It's really cool. So yeah, thank you to Matt for that. And thank you to Mason for letting me say this, because I know you are very much against it.
That's right.
One of them is...
I was covering the microphones. I'm like, how dare you say these things?
I've just found this one and it says, it's one angry knife. Is this the knife from the shadow?
I think it's an unrelated knife.
I just saw this one. No. Oh, well, that's good too.
Good.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly... Whoa, it started again, the theme song.
You're keeping this in? What are you doing?
Yeah, this will be all cleared out. Collings will take care of it.
Oh.
Welcome back, or...
Unless he wants to leave in a little bit of colour.
Yeah, that's true.
People prove that we are human after all. We put on our podcast pants one leg at a time.
One podcast pants at a time.
That's right.
We wear two pairs each.
That's right. Actually,
that's how we get the audio quality
I put my pants on like Wallace and Gromit style. I have a machine. And I'm dumped out of my bed into the pants.
You just slide in front of a bowl of porridge or whatever.
Yeah, that's
or
right.
Or it slides in front of you. Those are fun, but I don't think I like them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's an amazing craft, but I'm like, these are all right.
Good.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Though I said that, actually, to be fair, I saw Shaun the Sheep, Farmageddon.
Imagine being that guy whose name I can't remember, Aardman,
yeah.
And you're the first guy he encounters after doing his first short film. And you're like, that's all right.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Anyway, are you going to start the
show? Yeah, sorry. They are good. They're incredible.
Okay, yes.
But welcome back to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
I'm here. It's great to be here.
It is great to be here. Are you excited to talk the news of the week, Mason?
Yeah, what do you got?
We've got plenty of it. We've got Fantastic Beasts.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Scarlet Witch news for the new show.
Oh, yes.
We've got Netflix something. What's that about? Oh, yeah, Godzilla news. Wonder Woman updates.
Joss Whedon leaves a thing. That Avengers game is still going badly. And then we've got we've got two bits of big hot reboot news.
Oh, big hot reboot. Which I'm so excited for. Oh, I don't know what this is.
Oh, mate. One of them in particular, I'm sure somebody sent it to you, is just, it's incredible.
Well, that's going to lead in very well into our topic. It's going to dovetail into our topic.
Well, what is our topic?
Our topic is very ill-defined.
Yes.
We were like, lately, people have started, the Hollywood hotshots have attempted to just kind of like, just bring back from some franchises that we were like, these are definitely dead and they're not coming back and why would you dare bring them back and it's not going to work and it's going to fail again. How are you getting away with this? So we're like, so we asked the listeners to email in, post on the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group, the Patreon contributors. We're like, what would you love to bring back?
And something how?
And how? And who would you like to and direct why? And star? And why? Why?
Wow,
what's wrong with you? What's your damage, bro?
Some of them are just like, I have no idea what this is.
Oh, same. But I'm putting some of those in.
Good. Excellent.
And with good reason.
Yeah, I agree. So there's time codes below if you do want to jump around for that. But for any of that. But Deadline are reporting that Mads Mikkelsen is officially on board for Fantastic Beasts 3. That was the rumor.
Grindelwald.
Yes. I think it would have been great from the get-go. I think he's probably a better choice because he's quite sinister and he does have a weird, sinister accent.
That's right,
he doesn't have to put it on. He just is who he is.
And he does, you know, that bleeding eye thing he did in Casino Royale. He can do it for real.
Oh, my goodness. How does he not do it in other movies?
Oh, they CGI'd out.
Oh, so he's just constantly weeping blood.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Was his tell in that movie that he cried blood?
Yeah, but it wasn't. No,
because he also used it to trick him.
Yeah,
or something.
I don't think you ever figure out what his tell is.
Yeah.
Nor do you figure out what Bond's tell is in that movie.
Ah, having a heart attack.
I'm having such every time. He's like, oh, I've got such a bad hand of poker. Ah!
He rushes out to his car to the defibrillator. Yeah.
And he comes back in and like a new tuxedo.
And everyone's just like, we fault.
We don't know if this is a good hand or a bad hand for you, but quite frankly, I don't want to. This is just awkward.
You're still sweating.
I don't want to be part of this. Why are you ordering another martini? What is wrong with you? I think that contributed, if anything.
Why is there a man at the bottom of the stairs with a broken neck? What have you been doing?
We all fall.
Anyway, so yeah, that's not overly surprising. What a very seamless kind of cast shift in terms of like the turnaround on this was like was instant. Very lucky to get someone like this good.
Do you think he just submitted his Doctor Strange audition tape?
Oh, maybe
it's just
did.
Him swirling his hands
magical
in front of
hands,
a grid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Just in his apartment, just like ooh,
he's doing magic things. Yeah. Did you watch that movie where he's drunk all the time?
Yeah. No, I can't find it anywhere yet.
Okay, fair enough. Do you want some more news?
As in the cinemas that
the cinemas,
to,
yeah, of course. Yes. You want some more news?
Yeah.
This is by Empire Magazine. Kevin Feige is talking about the Scarlet Witch Vision TV series, which is coming out.
Do you think,
WandaVision.
Has Kevin Feige had a little break? Do you think he's loving just this?
Oh, that's a good question.
I feel like there's been less Kevin Feige commentary in the news.
Well, there haven't been any Kevin Feige Marvel properties. You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
Front and center. We haven't had a Marvel movie or TV show this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe there was like some shit that was on like ABC.
Hellstrom.
Yeah, what? Oh, yeah. But I don't think he's got anything to
it's
do with
it. It's
not
out yet, and people aren't mentioning it at all.
Okay, so. Fair enough. But yeah, maybe he is. Maybe I think the meetings just go in and they just have a whiteboard and they just move all the dates back $6.
Right.
And they just do that every few weeks or whatever. Yeah. But he said that one of the things they're going to explore in that show is who else is aware of the powers of Scarlet Witch? Where did they come from?
And they're like, and it's you, the audience.
Oh, my God,
it's
the
you.
Fans.
It's
driven
you,
by fans.
The girl watching this.
So did the Mind Stone unlock the powers? So did she already have it? Which implies to me that maybe she was a mutant all along.
Oh, okay, right.
But we'll see, won't we?
Sure
when that. I was going to say movie, when that show comes out on 15th of January when it's out.
Is there also? There's also been rumours that this version of Quicksilver will come back.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
And also Evan Peters is in it as well, I think.
Oh, to double Quicksilver.
Double Quicksilver.
Makes sense. Okay.
So, yeah.
So perhaps, you know, perhaps the because they got their powers from the Mind Stone, right?
Well, that was, yeah.
Unlocked
the idea,
their powers.
Yeah.
Or maybe they both have some sort of unlocked, like they both have sort of more powers that are yet to be revealed.
Well, I guess.
Quicksilver's being that. Or he can pop bullets out of his broken,
you'd
destroyed
hope so.
Body.
I mean,
yeah.
If it was anything else, it's pointless, really.
Yeah, this, that's right.
Junction in time. But
I always know true north. Oh, I'm still dead. This sucks.
If I recall from that movie, which I definitely don't, or the post credits that they appear in, I think they say that everybody else who they did this on is dead.
Oh.
But they might not be.
That's true.
So there you go. Mm. So that means that, you know, they are, there's something special about those two. Don't worry, everybody, it's just my dog barking. Could be an intruder, but the dog will take care of it. Netflix news, Mason.
Oh, my God, the dog's tearing that man apart.
Mm-hmm. He shouldn't have been a tiny little man. My dog's not very big.
So yeah. That's true.
Tiny little man, Monty Donaskid, very funny in their new show.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Every time, I've said this, but every time I watch that show, I'm like, or every time I even think of the show, I'm like, oh, remember that extra bit? Because it's so dense with jokes. I'm like, ah.
I've watched it through twice. I'm going to give it a third rewatch, which is very unusual for me to do as well. Yeah.
But that's the thing also, because it's like six and they're half an hour. You can knock it off in
6 minutes.
Yeah, 6 minutes. It's that's a six-minute show.
So Godzilla versus King Kong.
If you want to, they have on their channel, on their YouTube channel.
They have a watch through.
They have a watch through. So if you want to set it up, you can put on the Netflix show and then click play.
Or if you want something even better than that,
one of our movie commentaries.
I say we did a podcast together. We did the Caravan of Garbage and we've got a video on how their show came together.
You could watch that while you watch the Netflix series and it won't line up at all.
The problem with that video is, though, Netflix copyright struck it and it just, like, killed the algorithm for it.
Oh, I see, right.
So I've appealed, but it's like it's done. You know, the damage is done, so that sucks. But anyway, you can
I say boycott the Auntie Donna boys.
So anyway, knowledgeable sources tell The Hollywood Reporter, this is their words, that Netflix made an offer of more than $200 million on Godzilla versus King Kong, but that was blocked by Warner Media because they're preparing it to put it on its own streaming service, HBO Max.
Oh.
Legendary declined to comment, but a Warner Brothers spokesman said, "We plan to release Godzilla versus King Kong theatrically next year as scheduled."
Good luck, idiots.
Well, vaccine, depending how many people take it.
Yeah, that's true.
If people do want to go back to the cinemas and whatever. Maybe, but if this goes anywhere, it'll go HBO Max. Mm.
And a spokesman from Toho said,
"Rah!" Like they have a big lizard working for them?
Yeah,
How big is it?
I mean, it's bigger than a regular lizard. Okay. It's bigger than a small man.
Is it bigger than my dog?
Yes.
Let's see that fight, eh?
Right?
Wouldn't that be good?
Dog, don't get into fights with big lizards. Don't do it.
But speaking of HBO Max and such, the Amazon's movie. Do you know there was an Amazon's movie? Like a Wonder Woman spin-off?
Oh, vaguely.
I don't remember this at all.
I think it came up once and maybe we were like, huh.
Sure. Is it like one of those sci-fi Krypton situations or whatever?
Sure, yeah.
Apparently not. So this is from Patty Jenkins, who directed Wonder Woman 1 and 2. This is the story that Geoff Johns and I came up with.
Interesting. I went with it's the story. That just showed, a lovely lady.
Those are our cultural touchstones, right, isn't it? So yeah. So I came up with an idea and introduced it to Warner Brothers. The events of the story take place after Diana leaves Themyscira, the island of the Amazons, and there are some twists and turns linked to what will happen between Wonder Woman 1984 and Wonder Woman 3. So presumably she's coming back for that.
Okay.
The production of the project has not yet officially started, but I hope we get it because I love the story. So just some on Themyscira stuff happening.
Okay, and it's Wonder Woman the 90s. So I think Fresh Prince would have been more accurate there.
I guess it would, Mason. Mm. But it also says it started after the events of the first Wonder Woman.
So it goes up to the third one.
So we don't really know when the third one.
Okay, so it could be Brady Bunch.
Yeah. Do you reckon they're going to...
We were both right in a way.
Yeah. Yes, it encompasses a period of time. But, Mason,
Yes, go on.
Do you think there's going to be more Amazon stuff? Like present-day stuff in a 1984 stuff in the 1984 movie. I'm really tired, by the way, everybody. I did not get a lot of sleep. But I love podcasting, and I put on my two pairs of podcast pants.
That's right.
One forward, one backwards, and I just go for it. It's a nightmare to go to the toilet, but that's why you do it.
To make things difficult for yourself. Keeps you on your toes.
That's it.
Literally on your toes. Because of the weird angle, you have to go to the toilet at.
Exactly. So we know there's, like, flashbacks in that movie.
Yes.
Do you think they're going to bring... Because you can't technically leave the island or something.
Can they not?
If you leave the island, you can't come back to the island. Like,
right.
Maybe you can't find it or you're not allowed.
Maybe she comes back after the events of Wonder Woman 1 and she's like, "Hey, guys, you actually can leave and come back." And they're like, "Oh, we never thought of that."
Well, we don't want to.
We thought you'd leave and then you'd die. But I guess you don't. You're fine. So let's all go out.
That's pretty crazy that she left and she went, "I'm going to take the best stuff."
Right.
Like the magic sword and lasso and the tiara and the clangies.
The clangies.
Yeah.
The clangy spanglies.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Good on her, mate. So,
they're like, "We're fine. We've got all these bows and arrows."
Yeah.
We're going to need these bows and arrows to protect this magic box. that everybody wants.
In fine. The universe.
Don't worry about it.
So, that's coming out soon. That's like a month away now, or less than, so that's really exciting.
Maybe Wonder Woman just took the decoy good stuff. Maybe the real
good
stuff.
Well, the sword was a decoy.
That's true.
Because wasn't she really the thing that stops the thing?
Some people have asked if we want to do we're going to do a caravan of garbage on this movie, but no, because it'll just be this, really.
Yeah.
The
real reason is, though, because we like it.
Yeah.
But we don't have anything that's like, this is weird, or this is like,
yeah, there's no real ferocious hot takes I think we can deliver from.
I just
that
like
movie,
it. So, we are going to do a commentary though. So yeah. Did you know The Nevers was happening with Joss Whedon?
Is that the one and it's got Nick Frost in it?
It's the series follows a gang of Victorian women who find themselves with unusual abilities, relentless enemies, and a mission that might change the world.
But is Nick Frost
also in it? Out yet.
Okay,
I mean, there might be a trailer.
Yes.
But who am I to say?
I mean, you can say.
All right, I'll look it up then and then I'll say.
Please do.
I don't see him in it.
Okay, then. I'm thinking of something else.
That's not to say. Well, it's not out yet. Oh, no, he is in it. There you go. There you go, Mason.
Woo!
It's got a good cast. I'm bloody loving this. Anyway, the point is, Joss Whedon has left this project.
Oh.
I don't know if you heard this. This is after a string of...
scandals?
Yeah, well, no, he's just had a bad run. I think since, like, after the Avengers, it was, like, peak Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
And then everything since then has just been, like, personal attacks and things not doing as well, and it's just been...
Yeah, right, and that Wonder Woman... Didn't that Wonder Woman script
leak? Wonder Woman... Yeah, that's, like, he was doing... Another movie which he left because he couldn't crack it for Warner Brothers. What was it? It was superhero-y. I can't remember what it was. It was Batwoman. He was doing Batwoman or Batgirl. One of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, they say, we've parted ways with Joss Whedon. We remain excited about the future of The Nevers and we look forward to its premiere in the summer of 2021. So it's well on the way. And Joss Whedon also had a statement. This is the part of it. I realize that the level of commitment required moving forward, combined with the physical challenges of making such a huge show during a global pandemic, is more than I can handle without the work beginning to suffer. I'm genuinely exhausted. I'm stepping back to marshal my energy towards my own life, which is also on the brink of exciting change.
Oh.
So there you go. So that, and that's also off the back of, like, because his wife came out and said, remember a few years back, that he cheated on me for decades and told me he didn't or whatever.
Yep.
And then there's the Ray Fisher allegations in relation to the Justice League movie. And also people hate that Justice League movie and hate him as a result of it. But Ray Fisher actually came out and said that this is undoubtedly a result of the Warner Brothers investigation into what happened on Justice League.
Oh, he's referring to the Nevers.
Yes.
Oh.
Which is which it may or may not be. I don't know. So there you go. The Nevers is still coming out and Nick Frost is still in it, Mason.
Congratulations.
Is there a trailer? Let's check.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay then.
The first result is a Collider video where he's looking pensive in a fedora. Look at this. Look how pensive he is.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Maybe he's writing his autobiography, Pensive in a Fedora. That's the big change in his life.
How exciting. Did anybody mention Serenity or Firefly in your reboot stuff? I don't think I got any of mine.
No, I didn't get it either. No.
There you go. Maybe people are sick of it.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
This is more good news for that Marvel's Avengers game. And more, by more, I mean more for me.
I think I got a targeted ad on Twitter the other day that's like, it's time to come back to the Avengers.
Come back.
And I reply, I'm like, oh, it's never in the Avengers. Thank you very much, sir. No, sir. Not for me, no. Said,
if you were in the Avengers, what do you reckon your power would be? Would it be bloody Snark? What would you have?
Yeah, it's probably I'd be Iron Man.
Just straight up?
Yeah.
You've got to create a new character, though, with new powers.
No, I don't want
it. And it's based on your personality.
No, I don't want it.
So you can't just come in and be like, this is mine. You could get him to make you a suit. You couldn't be Iron Man, but you're saying you would be in this case.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I'll Iron Man suit, but an exciting new colorway.
Okay, cool. Brass.
Oh, not bad. Yeah. Brass and like leather, brown leather accents on it.
Oh my God, so good. And those bits aren't armored properly? The leather bits?
Yeah, no, not really. You can feel the wind through them. It's got like leather elbow patches. Yeah. And it creaks very badly.
Yeah, cool. Excellent. So IGN heard this from, this is via IGN, but President Yosuke Matsude, I'm sorry, it's a Japanese name that I obviously cannot say. But he said the sales of the Marvel's Avengers were lower than expected and unable to completely offset the money, the developer's cost. Okay?
The cost of the money.
Yeah,
of the game.
So, I've written this wrong here. We hope to make up for slow initial sales by offering ample additional content to grow our sales. Good luck. But no, that's so it's not making money. It's making negative money, which is good because it's not good.
Sure.
And they shouldn't have released it, and it's bad. And it's a bad game that they released where you mostly fight robots, and then when you fight a villain, there's like two villains and the rest of them are big robots.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you end up finishing it? Did you finish it? Okay, I was just checking.
I played more of the beta than I did the actual game.
Well, that's because you are a beta.
That's true. That's who I am. That would be my power. I come in and I'm like, I'll play second fiddle to anybody here. That's my power.
You just stand on the back and you're like, get him, Cap. Get him.
I don't have a costume.
No. And you're like elbowing people in the crowd. You're like, I'm friends with Captain America. And they're like, he's not friends with Captain America.
I'm in the team.
They haven't given you a proper like communicator badge or whatever, so you've made your own.
So we got
in the comics for ages. Like, yeah. If you're in the Avengers, you've got like a Avengers like credit card.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a communicator card and had like a video screen on it.
Did it also like you could use it at the shops?
Yeah, you had some petty cash.
Did you really?
No, I don't think so.
Boo. They'd probably give you one of those, wouldn't they?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but every now and then they'd take it away if they're not happy with you.
Yeah. Oh, you could be the Avengers accountant.
I don't want that.
Well, too bad.
That's
you're the beta.
That's worse. I'd rather be the beta.
Okay, fine. You can do that. All right.
Terrible accounting. Anyway, so cool. Little communicator card.
Yeah.
That's fun. Like a phone, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. But very thin, though.
Like a very thin phone.
In a way, it predated the iPhone.
Mm.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
No. So reboot news.
It doesn't make me think either. That was a trap. I wanted to see if it would make
Maybe
you think.
Maybe somebody's at home and they're thinking about it.
Yeah, for sure.
The show's for everyone.
Great.
Created a wall.
You somebody out there who's always thinking about cards? We're here for you.
We know you are. Reboot news. This first one, it's so exciting because we recently mentioned it. This is via the Golden Globe.
Wait, what?
The Golden Globe.
The award.
No, I guess. Somebody wrote it on it, I guess.
Are the Golden Globe Awards based on one Golden Globe?
Yeah.
And it's a sentient being?
Yes. Hello!
I have hot movie rumors and hot takes.
Sometimes the winners of the Globe, they enjoy the similar success at the Oscars. But sometimes it's different.
I'm relevant.
Nicole Kidman is often here. She seems like she's always there.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Anyway, Kevin Dillon.
Who's going to win Best Musical or Comedy this year? Could be anyone, to be honest.
Kevin Dillon, you know who that is?
From Entourage.
Yes. He was asked about an Entourage reboot, which we talked about recently, and I'm like, just bring it back. It's been 5 years since The Boys, and
I'd love
I want them to play The Boys Are Back in Town, and the boys come back into town, you know?
Yeah. And they all stroll like Wild Bunch style. They all walk in a line towards whatever their hot spot was back in the day.
Yep.
Now it's just a parking lot or something. It's been torn down.
Great.
Yeah.
Because of the pandemic.
Yes.
Yeah. He said, isn't that just a great show for a pandemic? I guess. Kevin Dillon asked with a bright smile.
Ooh.
Like only
he's a bright boy with a bright smile.
He and I are actually, this is the creator, yes. Doug Allen is his name? Yeah. He and I are actually going to record the next episode of our podcast, Victory the Podcast.
Oh, what?
Little plug there. Together after this with Kevin Connolly, who played Tiny Little E. I've been working on Doug for a long time, and he finally said, I would maybe consider a reboot of Entourage. Wouldn't that be cool? All the actors want to do it as well.
It's not what a reboot is.
No, that's a
continuation.
No,
it's
like it's a Dexter situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dextuation. Mm. How?
But that sounds to me like this creator of this show is trying to weasel his way out of hiring Kevin Dillon again. Because he's like, yeah, I'd be on board with a reboot. Oh yeah, and can all the old cast be in it? Yeah, we'll work on it.
Okay, so if Kevin Dillon in that show, Johnny Drama, was the first to Hollywood. Yes. And then his younger brother, Vinny Chase, came into Hollywood. What if Vinny Chase has got an even younger brother?
Okay,
so it's like, you know what I mean? It's
And
then Vinny Chase becomes the Johnny Drama.
Okay.
And Johnny Drama dies of the Rona.
And then he's brought back as a baby.
Yes.
And the circle is complete.
That's right.
And it's a real look who's talking
Ouroboros situation.
Yes, precisely.
Snake eating its own tail situation. Yeah.
And basically he's got a lot of like Hollywood wisdom, but nobody can hear him.
Yeah.
It's only in his head. He's like, hey, hey, don't sign nothing if you don't see the paycheck. Hey, you know? They're like, aren't you adorable with your little mustache? Your baby with your silly, tweedly, horrible mustache.
Your big Beavis hair.
Yeah.
I nearly tweeted this week, but I'm like, I don't have time. It's probably not that good a joke. But I nearly made an Entourage
reboot. By all means, let's hear it on the podcast.
It's an Entourage reboot like comic, which I was going to take frames from the from the thing. And it was like, Vinny Chase, you're being cancelled. You've been cancelled by the
SJW.
SJW, whatever. And he's like, and Johnny's like, oh no, I've been cancelled before. This is terrible. And he's like, don't worry about it. And then the last panel is like, the second last is James Cameron calling and being like, it's me, James Cameron. Don't worry, Vinny, you're not really being cancelled. And then the next photo was just them cheersing. I don't know. It was something like that.
Oh, you were
I was gonna make the full
panels. You've storyboarded this. Yeah. Okay, well. Gosh.
But I just like the idea. You know how they get in somebody, but it's normally like on the phone? Just James Cameron reading and just being like, no, you're not really being cancelled. There was some misunderstanding, so you're actually okay. And then they're like, yeah. Anyway, I didn't do it, so obviously. Because it's not
what you said there was so evocative. It was like you did it. So I loved it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nix, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. You've probably heard this, or maybe you've even experienced it. A business gets to a certain size and then the cracks start to emerge. Things that used to take like a day are now taking a week. There's too many manual processes just grinding away and you don't have that one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and a whole lot more. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. 1. Because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs, key performance indicators, in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow, all in one place. NetSuite allows you to have the power of all the information in one place to help you make more effective decisions, as quickly as possible so you can keep moving, keep building, keep growing, or have more time off, whatever it is that you're looking to do. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. That's netsuite.com/weeklyplanet to get your own KPI checklist. netsuite.com/weeklyplanet. Have you ever been in a situation where you need to search something on the internet, but it's kind of embarrassing and you don't want people to ever find out what you're searching for? It might be like a medical thing or a personal thing or whatever. I don't know what you're up to. And you might be thinking to yourself, look, I can just go into incognito mode. But let me tell you something. Incognito mode does not hide your activity. It doesn't matter what mode you use or how many times you clear your browser history, your internet service provider can see every single website you've ever visited. That's why. Even when I'm at home, I never go online without ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that reroutes your internet connection through secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. ExpressVPN also keeps all your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. Now, most of the time, I don't even realize I have ExpressVPN on because it runs seamlessly in the background and it's so easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're protected. ExpressVPN is also available on all your devices. We're talking phones, computers, even your smart TV. So there's no excuse for you to not be using it. Protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by CNET and Mashable. Visit our exclusive link, expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet, and get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet. expressvpn.com/weeklyplanet to learn more.
Good.
Predator 5, we talked about it last week.
That's right.
So I was like, oh, they'll probably bring back Arnold and because that's the only hand they haven't played. But yes, this is way better, I feel. Have you heard this news?
No, go on.
So Dan Trachtenberg, this is the story. So it'll be set in the past where it will focus on Native Americans before the territories were taken over by the American settlers, featuring a First Nations cast.
Uh-huh.
Now, last year there was an announcement of this movie called Skulls, which will follow a Comanche woman who goes against gender norms and tradition to become a warrior. So the idea is that
they're going to adapt that script into Predator.
No, that this was always Predator, I think.
Oh, the names are fake.
They called it Skulls. But just like, I mean, the only thing that's I can think of is close to this is like Apocalypto would be like the closest thing to this. Okay. You know, like I'm presuming they're not speaking English, or maybe they are. I don't know. They'll do the Hunt for Red October switch out. But
so they'll briefly be on a submarine. And then come back out and they're speaking
Sean
English.
Connery, oh, he died. Yeah. No, but I love the idea. We've talked about this about like Terminator before of just a completely different time period. You get away from everything else.
Yep.
And you've got like the weapons that you go up against are different. And this sounds great. This sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like the best version of this that I feel like they could have announced.
They probably won't do it in a Native American dialect, but. I think that would be good in subtitle, but I think people would be, because that would give it a kind of a alien-esque feel if you don't speak those languages kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think they probably wouldn't do that just because people would be like, I'm not reading subtitles.
No, but I think also you could make it in a way that you'd get it regardless of
probably
subtitles. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe minimal dialogue.
Minimal dialogue, but this is great and awesome.
And also this,
I stan it, Mason.
You stan it. But also I think what would work here for me is that the Predator doesn't really play fair, generally speaking.
No, he's a bad dude.
But this would, I think, it would lean more towards the first Predator and not the most recent ones where everybody's got heavy machine guns and lasers and high-tech
Predator dogs.
Predator dogs and cloaking devices and super suits or whatever. Because if the Predator is just fighting Native Americans from hundreds of years ago, then he's probably not going to use the lasers. And
I reckon he will.
He probably will.
Yeah, they might be able to get him off him at some point.
Yeah.
But, how cool does that sound, though? Is that just me?
No, that sounds good.
And I saw a lot of the comments were like, this actually sounds great, which I was really surprised by because normally it's like, this is SJW, whatever. There was, I'm sure there is that, but from my brief glance, there was none of that. It was just people like, cool, because it's not good. It's not a good franchise anymore, and let's do something different.
Good with it, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it gives other people an opportunity, like having an all Native American cast, like you don't really see that outside of like a movie where Kevin Costner's in it and he's the best one or something.
Okay, but can we have like a token white guy in a bow tie and he doesn't get it?
Is it Kevin Costner?
Yes.
Or do you need to? No, let's get Kevin Dillon.
Kevin Dillon, okay.
He doesn't get it.
All right, cool.
He's there. cool.
No, no, I reckon, no, Andy Daly.
That would be good, actually.
And he's like, I don't know about all this Predator stuff.
That would be pretty good.
What am I even doing here?
So, this dovetails, Mason, nicely into our topic for the week.
Dovetails.
Well, speaking of that, that got rebooted, didn't it?
It did.
It's good.
I've heard it's good. There's a season on Disney Plus that I might get to at some point.
Yeah. We'll all get to it at some point.
We will.
But so basically we're going to go through the things that people have sent in.
That's right.
And then we're just going to talk about them, and some of them will be like, yep, and we'll have not much to say, but others will talk about them way too long.
And we'll be like, yep.
And some people's we won't read out, and people are like, why didn't you read it out? And like,
unfortunately, you were comment 212 in 450 comments, so we missed it.
We missed
it. So that happens sometimes, yeah.
Do you want to kick it off?
Okay, this is – so I asked the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group to contribute some stuff. And first cab off the rank here, as we say, is Mike Smart, who said – and it's just a brief one. So initially I'm like, oh, you know, maybe some more details would be better. But in retrospect, absolutely perfect. He's just said, a continuation of Star Trek DS9. So Deep Space Nine, for people, you know, it's kind of the forgotten one for a lot of people. It's the one set on the space station. It's not on a starship. So
isn't
a lot
it
of
near like a wormhole or something?
It's near a wormhole to the Delta Quadrant.
I live near
I think.
There.
Did you?
That's where I live. No, I live there now. I live near it. Yeah.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah. Anyway.
All the Gamma Quadrant. One of the quadrants.
I'm sorry
one
for the derailing. Then.
One of the quadrants that isn't the Alpha Quadrant. But here's the thing.
Can I just say, like, that wasn't a joke or anything? Like, I just said that, but it didn't add anything. It just made you go, okay.
Yeah, okay. And I continue to say okay to this day, James.
Sorry.
Most of the things you say. But this gave me a great idea, and it is the sequel to Star Trek Deep Space Nine. It's Star Trek Deep Space 10. And so what it is, is it's 10 years later,
okay.
So that fits in with the name, and the Deep Space Nine space station has been destroyed.
Oh, no.
Well, I was going to say, the reason that people say, because like Picard brought back characters from Voyager and Next Generation, but Deep Space Nine hasn't really had a look. But anyway, it's we bring back all the original cast. So Deep Space Nine has been tragically destroyed off screen. Maybe we'll do a flashback.
There was probably something called The Event.
The Event happened.
The
exactly,
Great
right.
Purge.
Right.
The Burning of the Galaxy. You know, there's always
that'll
a thing.
Do it. Yeah,
and then
they're
like episode 9, they're like, yeah, there's a big bomb or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like, what is this thing?
It was a big bomb and Gary did it. Gary's like, hey, everyone.
I escaped, but everybody else exploded.
My bad. I didn't. I slipped. But anyway, so they've rebuilt Deep Space. It's Deep Space 10 now.
Okay.
And they brought back all the original cast that are still around, brought them all back. There's a lovely tribute to Odo because that actor passed away.
Oh, boo.
But it's Deep Space 10. And so because it was built by Starfleet and not the original Cardassian version, it's more efficient, so everything is 10% smaller. And that's why it's called Deep Space 10. So it's just a series of just – it's the characters
people
and also the actors
down the
just
doors.
Tripping on things.
Yep,
it's just a series
holding
of
– holding tiny little pens. They don't use pens. Data pads.
Yes.
The data pads are like –
they're like, I keep
padding.
Missing the button.
Yeah.
God. And it's just –
the flight controls are like teeny-tiny.
It's a farce at this point. And it's all like, okay, we're bringing – okay, it's good to see you here. Like they bring in the ambassador from some far-off, you know, galaxy, and he's all about, you know – doing everything correctly or whatever, and they're like, they bring
otherwise
him
in there'll be a war.
Otherwise there'll be a war, and they just bring him in and they just trip and he falls into some spaghetti or whatever.
And he's like, but this is a slightly smaller bowl of spaghetti, which is the greatest insult you could. Also, they're all slightly hungry all the time because of their small portions.
That's right.
I love it.
Good,
I love
right?
it.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like, I mean, you could take all the fun, silly stuff that you said, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like you could definitely reboot that as
right.
something else.
As a weird slapstick comedy.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I mean, the Orville, but, you know.
No, but sillier. Again,
sillier
that
smaller.
Has jokes. This just has people falling over.
The Orville sort of has, every now and then they're like, oh, yeah, we should do a joke. I like it.
Yeah,
it's a good show, but it's not like it's more.
It's just Star Trek.
It's more Star Trek than it is like Family Guy, yeah.
There's less jokes. There's way fewer jokes than like Lower Decks, which is all jokes all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from Hayden Davies. Davis, what about this? One franchise I'd love to see return would be Die Hard. I mean, I say boo,
But here's the thing. We're talking about stuff that we consider irredeemable.
Yeah, exactly. You know, right? If we've got Christopher McQuarrie
okay.
of Mission Impossible Films as the director with John David Washington,
okay,
Yahul Abdeen Mateen II, or Armie Hammer as John McClane, or even like that team up sounds pretty good too. Like if they all play like people in the building. Or
they all play Bruce Willis.
They all play Bruce Willis.
You get Armie Hammer, you shave the widow's peak into his head.
Oh, would he do it?
Yeah.
He's got a commitment to acting. He'd probably do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether I'd rather just see an action movie with Die Hard-esque with any of those guys in the lead instead. Right. But Die Hard needs to...
Die?
Yeah, or change to a completely different thing. Change hard, change fast.
Yeah. Because we might have to tie it back thematically, who's John David Washington related to? Is he related to Samuel L. Jackson's character in Die Hard 3?
Yeah, sure. Or not.
Okay, cool.
No, not everyone has to... I think the reason...
James, it's Hollywood. Everybody has to be related.
But I think the reason we're seeing things like The Predator happen, The Predator 5, with no original cast, is because they tried for the longest time of like, we'll just bring back the original cast
for
and
the
all
longest time.
Ooh. That was a small wolf doing it.
Oh.
And he's tired, just like me. But what was I saying?
The new Predator is soundtracked entirely by wolves doing Billy Joel covers.
People are trying to do the Force Awakens thing.
Yeah.
Where you get back like the main original cast and it's 30 years on. You know, like Halloween, like Jurassic World, the fuck. Maybe not Jurassic World because that didn't have many originals, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think now it's just like, we're not doing that anymore, I guess. Maybe. Anyway, what do you got next?
Okay, how about this?
I'm ready.
These came in right one after the other. The first person's name is XZYLIAC, which I'm going to pronounce as Zeliak.
Okay.
And also Aaron.
Good, that works too.
Yep. Have both said they want a Ready Player One reboot.
Okay, did you?
Zeliak has said Ready Player One again, but as a satire with Paul Verhoeven and starring Aubrey Plaza. Ooh. And Aaron has suggested Ready Player One directed by Edgar Wright, with complete freedom to use any franchise character like in the book.
Okay.
Hmm.
Did you
Ready Player 2 is out.
Did you read the first page or whatever?
Yeah.
I could never.
The sex page or the.
I didn't read the sex page. What was that like?
Weird.
Was it?
Yeah.
What's
on the first page?
It's just all. It's if you took out all the references, it'd be like four words. And look, I haven't read the first book, and I thought the movie was fine. And I could never write a book that's anywhere near as good as.
No, you
this.
Could. No, you could.
I doubt it.
You could.
But It was not. I did not.
No, James. You could never write a book that's as successful as this, but you could definitely write a book that's as good. Again,
disagree.
I haven't read it either. I have watched the movie like you,
because
we did it for the podcast. But I wouldn't have read it. I wouldn't have watched it if it wasn't for the podcast. And I've read enough excerpts from the first book to be like, this is definitively not for me.
Yeah.
So that's my question: is would Ready Player One work as a satire?
Yes, but I think the ideas behind it are more open to satire than they are just being the guy going, I love Back to the Future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's because as I understand it, Paul Verhoeven, who directed Starship Troopers, read the original Robert Heinlein book and was like, or he read some of it and he's like, I'm not doing this. I'm just doing whatever I want. So we need a guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We need a guy who can get in and do that. So.
Okay. So to get everybody up to speed, the guy from Ready Player One,
Wade,
he won the eggs.
Yeah, I remember that. He won all the eggs.
And so he got to control the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
So then now he's in charge of everything. So here we go. So this is him entering his room or whatever. So I gave the guards a polite nod and pressed the 13 button. According to the interactive building dictionary on my phone, the 13th floor was where the GSS archives are located. Of course, Halliday put them there in one of his favorite TV shows, Max Headroom. Network 23's research and development lab was on the 13th floor. And the 13th floor was also the title of an old sci-fi film about virtual reality released in 1999, right on the heels of both The Matrix and Extends-Z.
Existence, but yes.
Thank you. Sorry, there you go. Yeah. Anyway, gets on an elevator. I thanked the guard and told...
Well, I mean, imagine how boring that would be if a man just got on an elevator. Can you imagine?
Yeah, so I thanked the guard and told him he could go as I scanned the doors. There it was, number 42, another of Halliday's jokes. According to one of his favourite novels, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, number 42 was the ultimate answer to life, the universe and everything. I just stood there for a few seconds, reminding myself to breathe. Then I punched in the seven different...
Breathing. The greatest skill of Bruce Lee, famous martial artist.
Then I punched in the seven-digit combination from the egg's inscription into the code pad beside the door vault. 8675309.
Jenny.
Yeah. A combination with no self-respecting Gunter would have any trouble remembering. Jenny.
It's a Gunter again?
They're the people in the world, I guess. Jenny, I've got you.
Is it people who love playing the games? Because I think I've mentioned this before, but people who love trams are called Gunzels.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they're similar.
Hmm.
Jenny, I've got your number. I need to make you mine. The lock disengaged, et cetera, et cetera. something about a Weeble. I don't know. This is this is pretty not for me.
Yep.
But so, if you love it, that's good.
I disagree. I say aim higher.
Nah, man, whatever. People can enjoy what they want.
I know
you know. What's
well,
next?
I wonder about that. Like, I remember, like, when I was a kid, I would listen to, like, you know, like a Beastie Boys album, and they would reference, like, to me, like, very, like, obscure other musicians or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I'd listen to, like, a De La Soul album or something like that, and it'd be, like, all samples of other songs. And I would, like...
Moby.
Yeah, like Moby, exactly. And you'd, like, look at the liner notes and it'd be like, this song contains a sample from blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so I would go to, like, the record shop and be like,
there you go.
I don't know anything about these people.
And that's what this could be.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. I'm wondering if that works in the same...
If you haven't read Hitchhikers, then
maybe
it's better.
But I also wonder about that if, like, because at least with a music example, you can hear this and you go, that feels
fun
or whatever. Yep, yep, it feels like that's for me, and so I can go and check it out. But if it's just a list of things, do you then go, I would love to. But, I mean, maybe there's somebody out there who's just like, I love this. I'm going to listen to the song Jenny.
Yeah. Look, as someone who, like, used to, and not so much now, like, exclusively make Easter egg videos, I'm hardly the one to be like, this is a bit reference heavy, don't you think?
Did Ready Player One finally kill you? Is that what happened?
It may have, yeah. It might have. But also so many people do them, and so many people do them, like, more in depth, and I'm like, I don't care about this that much. Thing, like, it just becomes a list.
Wouldn't it be more fun if the book just put the Easter egg in and didn't explain what the Easter egg was?
Yes.
Good. Right. Maybe there's an edited version.
Maybe there is.
But they don't explain any of the references.
It's much shorter.
Yeah.
He got on an elevator, a song played that he recognised.
13:42. It'd be a brisker read.
It certainly would. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
I've said to you a bunch of times.
He,
like,
thought about Roger Rabbit. And then he...
It's a good movie. And a good book, apparently, but I haven't read it. I've said a bunch of times, like... The way to, like, a million view YouTube video. It's just a list of somewhat connected pop cultural things. Maybe a picture of them or a clip.
Yeah.
No other context. No commentary. No jokes.
If I could do that.
I reckon you should do one.
I reckon if we sat down and we hashed that out.
Just how about this? Every role The Rock has played, and it's just the name of the movie, clip from the movie, just that.
I can get away with stills.
Yeah.
Still imagery.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That would be fun for us and people who hear this, but for a lot of people to be like, this is...
Why are you doing this? Why have you turned this around?
Because already, like, pretty much every video, it's like pretty low effort on this one. It's like, this has the same effort as any of them do. Like, I don't know why you think this one is the worst one. Or, like, running out of ideas.
Yes.
Not really. Like, I'm genuinely never like, I've got nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea what I'm going to do. There's always something in the tank.
Mm.
Anyway, what about this? This is DeJure Van Der Veen. I'm sorry, I've said your name wrong, but a more comic accurate version of The Mask. Do you think people
more
would
violent.
Be? Yeah. Do you think people would be open to that though? Like, because I think people know that because of the Jim Carrey version. If they were like, it's that, but it's much meaner. Or if they were like, it's Deadpool. Maybe if they did
well,
it
that's
like
the thing.
Deadpool,
I wonder if it would be more likely to be greenlit these days just because there have been successful R-rated comic book movies now and they're like, ooh, violent and more violent.
And maybe we'll get into Ready Player 3.
Yeah.
Or did it was like that reboot of The Mask that was more like Deadpool that Halliday loved and in turn the
character
also
invented by Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, so, yeah, maybe, yeah.
Hmm. Or is that era past? Like, has there already been enough of a backlash to R-rated comic book movies where people are like, there's a fly in the studio?
Mozzie, I think. I don't think it's a backlash. I think it's more like one of them doesn't do well and then executives everywhere go, panic. Well, this isn't anything.
Yeah, right.
And they throw them all in the bin.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know. What else you got?
Oh, okay. A few people have said this. Let me find it. A few people, including Lee Fenner, have suggested they bring back the cartoon Centurions. Do you remember the cartoon Centurions,
yeah,
James?
What was that again?
It was three men, one a mustachioed man, two regular men.
Mm.
And they wore these, like, different colours. They're sort of Power Rangers-esque. They wore these different, like, coloured power suits.
You've talked about this.
And they, like, they were, like, sea, air and land guys, and they teleported, like, big suits of battle armour on, like, they were around them. And they had, like, mounting points on the suit. So they could become a big tank or a plane or a motorcycle or something. Is that too weird of a novelty?
I don't think so. I think that's, it's a G.I. Joe-esque and whatever.
Yeah, right, right, right. I guess it fits right in that.
The first episode was in April of 1986, and for a second I thought it said the last episode was in December of 1996, and I was like, what? How did I? No, it went for like from April to December of that same year.
Mm.
Okay, so you're into it.
I don't, yeah. Yes.
Things transforming.
I loved him. I had him. I had him as kids.
He loved him. He had him.
Yeah.
What about this one though, Mason?
Uh-huh.
These two will flow into each other. This is from James Clark. It's James, but it's J-E-A-M-E-S. So I don't know how. Is that right?
Maybe it's Jamie.
Maybe it's Jamie, yeah. I'd reboot Harry Potter as a cartoon series in the same style as DC animated movies of late. You can focus on the more magical elements of the books as well as add more of the source material, which creates a whole new experience aside from the movie adaptations. And Jessica Lazoya has commented, this is in a separate comment, but I feel like this ties in. As a television show, you have less time between books and you don't have to worry about the actors growing up and playing the role of a 15-year-old when they're actually 23. I think at this point, though, everyone is tired of J.K. Rowling, so we probably won't be able to return to this world for a very long time, if ever. Mm. So, yeah, I think that would also play a part. I know, people have been more recently have been like, that would have been better as a TV series. It would be better as a TV series now. But when it started in 2001, that would not have been better as a TV series.
No, absolutely not.
It would have been much worse as a TV series.
If they did an animated Harry Potter series or an animated, would it be, do you think it would be Harry Potter or do you think it would be a Hogwarts TV series?
It could be maybe? Harry's parents or whatever. It's Harry's parents.
Or whatever.
Or whatever.
Whatever we decide to Snape's do this episode.
Or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Maybe it's that lady who turns into a snake. How far into a snake has she been transformed this week? More of a snake.
Is that the old woman?
No, there's a lady. Remember there's a lady and she turns into a big snake?
No.
There's a lady and she was in a circus or something and everybody's like, look at this lady, she turns into a snake.
Oh, you're talking about the Fantastic Beasts.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But isn't she also in a Harry Potter movie?
Yeah. She.
And then somebody kills her?
Yeah, Neville beheads her.
Oh, terrific.
That's right. She deserved it for turning into a snake.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, how dare her.
What else you got?
How about this?
Okay.
How about this, James?
Okay.
Michael Davila says, I'd love to see the flaming carrot. So
this isn't the Zoo Crew, right?
No, that's Captain Carrot.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Jeez. I'm no Ernest Cline over here.
Right.
Jesus.
So Flaming Carrot. Okay. So he elaborates. Starring Adam Driver, directed and conceptualized by Wes Anderson. So Flaming Carrot is the comic book series that the Mystery Men came from.
Yes.
Now I've done it.
You dumbass.
So Flaming Carrot was about this guy. And if you can imagine just a guy
in chinos
and a shirt and for a head he's got a big mask that's like a long carrot on fire and he carries a gun.
Cool. I love it.
And there's a couple of issues where he remembers his time interacting with the Mystery Men, some of which were turned into
Mystery Men movie.
Mystery Men in the movie and some were new. So I would love to see another Mystery Men movie.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Flaming Carrot.
It didn't make any money, but every now and then people will be like,
"It made a lot of money made a lot of money for Smash Mouth." I would imagine.
I'm sure it did,
because that was the first appearance of All Star.
It was too, and then Shrek really.
Shrek really
stepped in.
Yeah,
I've got an Adam
Shrek in it. Yes.
Ryan Davies says Transformers with Adam Driver as an older Spike. He could pull it off. I know Bumblebee was good. Keep that with more robot and robot action. Put him in one of those dumb transforming suits from the 80s movie for a laugh and put it on Cybertron. Yeah, all of that. Maybe except for the Cybertron thing. Okay. I like all of that. Adam Driver as grown-up Spike.
Yeah.
Great. Mm. This could all be Adam Driver. Did you mention what was the caveat that you put in yours? Did you mention it already?
I said you get bonus points if you do not cast somebody who's already in the MCU, which is a big ask.
Did you mention that here or did you mention that to me?
No, I mentioned that to you earlier.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Which is a big ask because most people are in the MCU,
mm-hmm.
but Adam Driver isn't yet, right?
Isn't yet.
Who do you think would be in the MCU?
James? He'd be a good
villain? Hero.
No, I think he'd be a great Nightwing. It's probably past that point now.
That's not the MCU, James.
Oh, MCU. Fuck. All right. Okay.
Quick, say anything. Stiltman. Just say Stiltman.
He's not a good Stiltman.
He would be a great Stiltman because he'd be always losing and he'd be like, I'm conflicted. Why do
it's
I keep
too
doing
big
crime?
For Wolverine?
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't be Moon Knight.
Yep.
I have no idea. I have to think about it. Who do you think? Just say Stiltman, Mason.
I
you can only think of Stiltman.
Right?
So sometimes you try and think of something and someone's going, Stiltman.
That's how Stiltman gets you.
Yeah.
He gets in your head and then all you can think of is Stiltman. Ooh. I think he'd be good as like a harangue shield agent.
Oh,
like
yeah.
He's trying to corral the new Avengers or whatever. And he's all like, you got to sign these permits. And they're like, we're just going to smash everything.
What about white Nick Fury? They bring back Nick Fury. But he's white Nick Fury.
Yeah, nice. Great.
He'd be good as a shield agent. Yeah. What if you did put him like a Maria Hill-esque? Who's someone like...
Maria Hill?
No, but who's someone like that who's like a famous shield agent?
White Nick Fury.
White Nick Fury.
I can't think of any other. There's...
There, I mean, you could make one up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Or just pick an obscure one from the comic. Yeah, because I think that would more suit him than give him big blasting laser hands or something.
Right, yeah.
He could be an Eternal or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, what about this
one? He could be Blastar.
Blastar.
His whole thing is blasting laser hands. And that's what he could say. He could say pachu pachu.
Silver Surfer?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Yes.
Thanks.
How's he look with a shaved head?
Bad, probably.
Probably no.
No, he'd look good.
He would look good.
You hate his hair, don't you? How dare you?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Yeah. Who was the last one? I think it was me, so it's your turn.
Okay, how about this, James?
Mm.
James, how about this? James.
Yeah, I'm ready.
How about
this?
Okay, this one was interesting. This is from Patrick Halsher. He says, it's time to bring back Mission Top Secret, a great Aussie export. It was massive in Germany in my childhood. I don't know what it is.
What is this?
I don't know. I have no idea.
For a second, I thought it was that there was a show that was kind of like Australian Archer.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
called Pacific Beach or
I remember
something.
That. Yeah, Pacific. Yeah, which looked bad.
Yeah. It was a pilot for a series of a 1991 Tallinn movie of the same name called South Pacific Adventures. On a budget of $1 million. I'm looking at the names here. None of them I recognize.
But I just think that's fascinating that we had a big Aussie export that I've never heard of.
And there's only like 12 episodes.
Yeah, but it was a great Aussie export.
Apparently it was.
This show is, speaking of Nick Fury, this is the David Hasselhoff of Australian TV
series.
Oh,
totally,
it's huge
yeah.
in Germany, but I've never heard of it.
I've heard of this bloody thing. God, it looks like every Australian show from the 90s.
Ocean Girl?
Yeah, it looks like that. Oh, it's all kids and stuff, yeah. It does look like Ocean Girl or Ship to Shore. There's a local reference for you. It's like 12 people that get that.
Okay. The stars of Ship to Shore.
Yes, that's right. Well, I've got one here, Mason.
Yes.
Jim Neal. There's a few people have said this, but a proper TV adaptation of the Dark Tower books. There are so many great story arcs.
Yeah.
Just crying out to be put on screen. I didn't dislike the film, but it could have been so much more. Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about this universe, but every time they make it or try to, people are like, this is wrong and you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the thing. There was that moment where we were like, the air was thick with Stephen King adaptations for a minute there. And I would genuinely like to see, and it's hard to just be like, we're building a cinematic universe because that never works. It sort of has to happen by accident or Disney's billions of dollars.
Wasn't that movie also like... a sequel also to the series? Like it was set after?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it was.
I could not tell you.
I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell you for $1 billion. But, I mean, it was good. Both of the its were enjoyable. And we got, the tiniest snippet of the
King of Earth.
Yeah, the King of Earth, the larger cosmology
whatever
of all
that's
that
called.
And the turtle. We didn't see a turtle.
There's no turtles. Yeah. There wasn't one in it either.
No.
But, yeah, I think off the back of it, you'd think there would have been. Other being said, they're still making adaptations and, like, there was that Ewan McGregor one. Did you ever see Dr. Sleep?
Oh, Dr. Sleep, no, I never saw
really
it.
Really good. Yeah. You should watch that. Yeah, I think the extended one is on one of the streaming services.
It is,
Netflix, so yeah. What else from Ashron?
Let's see, James. Let's see.
Let's see.
Okay.
What you're supposed to do, Mason,
yes.
is when I read out mine, you ignore me while you look for the next one.
Yeah, good call. Actually.
That's how you're supposed to.
That's a really good call.
That's how you keep things going.
Yeah,
I mean, the conversation isn't good, but it's brisk,
It's true, yeah.
Yeah. Like you only put on one pair of your podcast pants this morning, maybe. Maybe that's your problem.
I think it probably is. Let's see.
I can do one while you search.
Please do.
It's from Dylan Morris says, I'm a big Scott Pilgrim fan and want to see more of them characters, and I'd like to see Netflix attempt an animated series possibly in the art style of the comic. The video game looks like the comic.
Mm.
The comic also looks like the comic. So, yeah, I think, it's a beloved movie where I think you could definitely bring that back and people would be like, cool, Enough people know it. It's not got enough goodwill behind it. And it could be bigger by making it a Netflix animated show.
Yes, that's probably true. Mm. You could bring back the voice cast.
You absolutely could.
Brandon Routh.
Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane.
He's the other vegan.
Is he?
Yep.
Good Lord.
Chris Evans. Brie Larson.
I don't have it here, but somebody mentioned.
Chris Evans? Yeah. Sorry, go on.
I would love to see another Highlander. I would love to see them bring back Highlander.
I got a Highlander one.
Somebody suggested Thomas Jane as Connor McLeod.
That's because good. I like that.
They do look very similar.
I've got one from Matthew Comben, who says, Highlander, the first movie was a cult classic, but let's face it, not the best directed film in the world, and spawned several awful sequels and a mediocre TV series that is best forgotten. Take that, Mason.
Oh,
maybe James McAvoy as Connor McLeod, Antonio Banderas or Oscar Isaac as Ramirez, but get Trent Reznor to do the remix, to remix the original Queen soundtrack, and you have it that.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What else you got?
Dion Pedler says, Banana Man starring Donald Gleason.
Why Donal Gleeson? Why not Adam Driver?
Well, Donal Gleeson is British, presumably.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. So Banana Man was a boy called Eric.
Yes.
But when Eric eats a banana, an amazing transformation occurs. Mm-hmm. He becomes Banana Man.
Yeah.
And he would swim
through the sky, yeah.
We got a few of these like weird British shows that were on like every night for like 3 minutes. It was like
Danger Mouse.
Bangers and Mash, probably, yes. Which Matt Stewart, of course, have talked about on Primates. Jimbo, that jumbo jet.
Oh, yep.
Remember that one? Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of this weird shit that made its way over here.
I could see Banana Man, if there was a British version of SNL, I could see Donald Gleason being Banana Man on that.
Totally.
Do you think that impeded Eric's ability to get potassium in his diet? Because he'd have to turn into Banana Man.
Maybe when he turns into Banana Man, he eats like 40 bananas and that tides him over.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, while he's Banana Man, he eats the bananas. Yeah. Okay, right.
Do you remember when there was an episode of Apple Man? I never saw it, like the actual episode.
Oh, your friends told you about it.
My uncle worked at the TV station.
I'm going
to Google
Man.
It now. But what essentially happened was at the end of an episode, they said, we've got somebody to combat Banana Man. It's Apple Man.
Huh.
And then I never saw the follow-up episode. Oh, it's just on YouTube. I could just watch it.
You would think.
But I don't want to.
You would think, James, that he wouldn't be Apple Man. He'd be some sort of sugary candy man, right?
Maybe a candy
Maybe
banana.
The real candy man, the horror movie character.
That'd be a good choice. But you know those like yellow banana lollies? He's one of those.
Oh,
he's just
I'm
a yellow banana lolly, I guess.
And he would have inverted colors from regular Banana Man.
Exactly.
Nice. And he would trick the children.
Why is Banana Man blue and yellow? Why isn't he brown and yellow or just brown because he's been out for too long?
His costume is regularly, it's just spotty and rotting. That would be great.
And banana skin. Yeah, terrific. What else you got, Mason?
Connor Mountford says, I guess I'd like another live action Power Rangers.
Well, we're getting it, so.
Is it a continuation of the previous one?
I think it's a reboot / continuation of the television series. I think we've talked about
it. Yeah,
but
okay.
It might not be.
Yeah.
Or it's cancelled.
But also that one lives in that pocket of like, remember we got the gritty reboot, the fan film, and then
it'll never
live up to that, you know, kind of thing.
So true. Well, this one.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler says, I'd love to see Back to the Future movie starring Zoe Deutsch. How do you say that name?
I don't know who you're talking about.
She's in comedies.
New Girl?
No. It's D-E-U-T-C-H. She's famous and in stuff.
No idea.
Mason, you know her from things. She's
I don't.
In a bunch of romantic comedies.
Nope.
She's... You're a fucking idiot, Mason. You're a goddamn son of a bitch. Here you go. Her. She's Leah Thompson's daughter, who was in the original Back to the Future.
Nope.
What?
No idea.
You know her.
I don't.
She's in that movie about where they go to their bosses. They go to get their bosses to fall in love.
Horrible bosses.
No, Mason.
That aren't in love.
I'm talking about horrible bosses,
Loveless
too.
Bosses.
She's in Zombieland Double Tap. She's the ditzy one.
Oh, right, okay.
But, yeah, she normally doesn't play characters like that.
Okay.
Anyway, so what this person has said, Tyler said, the fact that her mum played Marty's mother would make a good McFly family resemblance, and I personally think she'd be excellent in a Back to the Future style of movie.
Oh.
I think they won't touch that until Robert Zemeckis is dead.
He has said quite firmly that he would not want to see
another one. Of course, we recently had the recent announcement that Michael J. Fox is like retiring for good from
his
second retirement.
And I feel Zemeckis could probably kind of burn that movie with a sentence. If they made it and it was bad and he went, told you they shouldn't have made it,
yeah.
I think people would be like, I'm staying away
but
from
you
this.
You made it.
Yeah,
but I told you I shouldn't have.
Yes.
I told you. Ashley says, this is Ashley's week to week in the Patreon. With this, I'd reboot this week's podcast with a Red Dwarf episode. It's okay, James. I'm sick of it. Sick of me too. So every week he's like, Red Dwarf episode, but we're never doing it.
What?
He's going to keep trying. I mean, we'll probably eventually run out of ideas.
That's
we've got
true,
that
yeah.
one in the tank.
Yeah.
So, you know, episode 810.
I hope we I hope that is a mere stepping stone to episode 10,000. I hope we are so successful, James, that we become one of those podcasts that does a podcast every day.
I hate those.
No, I love them.
They suffer in
quality.
I don't
listen to them. I love the idea of them. Seems comforting. So, like an old shoe.
I guess people like live stream every day. It wouldn't be dissimilar, would it?
Mm.
What else, Mason?
How about this, James?
Mm.
How about this?
Mm.
How about this?
Mm. I've got three more.
Okay. How about this, James?
Yeah, I'm fucking here, man. Jesus, this fucking guy. I can't believe this fucking guy comes in here, but wears one pair of podcast pants, thinks he can just coast his way through an episode. What a sack of shit. I'm thinking of replacing him. Maybe with me. I'll just do it with me. I just do that thing that people think I do, where I do two voices.
God, I really wish I could take a break from this podcast. God, I wish James would just bring in somebody, just a third guy, and then I could take. God, I just wish I could take a week off. But he's never going to do it. He doesn't have the balls to do it. He wouldn't dare. He knows the quality would suffer. I mean, it might be funnier and more interesting, but the magic. I mean, the magic could still be there. But I mean. Jeez, I hope he doesn't fire me.
Can I fire you?
I don't know. Do I technically work here? I don't know. Oh, no. The magic of the bit has been broken, James. We're thinking.
What do you got?
How about this? Will Clement has said Mortal Engines.
Oh, yeah.
I would see another Mortal Engines.
No.
But the Misfits guy who's also in Umbrella Academy?
Yeah.
That guy?
I don't know.
I kind of liked it. Remember there was the zombie man?
That was good.
The zombie robot man, and he was all green. Do you remember it? I'd see now, another one of those.
Was that last year, or was that 100 years ago?
It was 100 years ago, yeah.
Let me check. It was 2018.
The Australian National Anthem is about that movie. I don't know if you're aware.
Is it?
Yeah.
A Land Is Girt by Sea.
Yeah.
It's got big wheels under it.
We drive around on our land.
We drive around in the outback.
That's right. It's Girt by Sea.
Paul Hogan at the wheel.
Yeah. That's right.
Good song. What about
a lot of people, including Ruby Byrne and Alex T. Bennett, would love to see the Percy Jackson series done well.
A lot of people. Isn't that – that's coming to Netflix, isn't it? I think they are doing
it. Yeah, and famously the creator, like, put up an essay on his website.
Mm.
Or her website.
Mm.
His website.
Let me check.
It was like, yeah, they ruined this. They didn't – they changed everything for the worse, and I hated it.
Yeah, cool.
Sorry.
Rick Riordan.
Mm.
Let me check. TV series. I'm just double checking this to make sure it's, yeah. Yeah, no, sorry, it's coming to Disney Plus. I apologize. This is great. This is from Matt. It says, Nightmare on Elm Street revival with Scott Derrickson directing, who people would know first Doctor Strange, and he's done some other horror stuff. One story idea was suggested by Robert Englund in an interview would be have kids grew up hearing stories about this Freddy Krueger guy and the awful things he did and envisioned him in their own way, and that is the version that begins to haunt them. So some people may picture him as stout. Another might envision him as tall and thin. Another with a different hat or a different sweater. That way you can bring in Robert Englund and Jack.
Like one of those sweaters that's got like the half zip?
Yeah, exactly.
Like to the neck. Yeah,
or
yeah.
The stripes are vertical or instead of horizontal
or
whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm different.
This really is a new nightmare.
Yeah,
some he's got a cardigan.
I mean,
on.
They're more slimming if they're vertical.
Yeah.
Bring in Robert.
Some a shaggy Shetland. Others a smooth, soft cashmere.
So you could bring in Robert Englund and Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah,
I love that idea. I think that's really clever.
Oh, and they could team up somehow.
Yeah, to kiss.
Yeah.
To kiss.
Right. Okay, but have it. Yeah, no, I think that would be interesting if like they all have individual dreams of the monster that is Freddy Krueger, and maybe they share their stories, and then their dreams contain all the Freddy Kruegers.
Yeah.
We could get Josh Gad as a Freddy Krueger.
Bring him in.
Yeah.
Get Scary Terry from Rick and Morty.
John David Washington as a Freddy Krueger.
There's a perfect one.
Kristen Wiig.
One of them's just a drunk. Like, that's how they envision him. Like, not particularly, like...
Actually, Rachel Dratch. Rachel Dratch, not
Rachel
Kristen.
Dratt.
Rachel Dratch.
She's Rachel Dratch.
She's from, you see her in 30 Rock and stuff. She makes a lot of appearances. She's sort of a SNL alumni. You'd recognize the face.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I know, yeah. I'm loving this, Mason. What else you got?
How about this, James? How about this?
How about what?
How about this, James? You ready for this?
Yes.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Oh, Marcus Markland has suggested Carl Urban as the Phantom.
Yeah, that works.
Right?
Yeah. That totally works.
But how do you The problem with the fan, and I like the Phantom.
I know you do.
I made fun of the fan. People are like, you don't like the Phantom. We make fun of it. I make fun of everything.
Yeah, but this in particular you make fun of.
I mean, I've got a certain hatred for it. I've got a genuine. No, I do. I like the Phantom because we got them all in. Everybody got an issue of the Phantom in their show bags when they went to the Royal Melbourne show as children. And remember when he met Bob Hawke? Remember the issue where he met Bob Hawke? Google that real quick.
I don't.
The Phantom Bob Hawke.
Bob Hawke was the Australian Prime Minister who once held the record for drinking a yard glass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he met Bob Hawke in the Australia's version of the Oval Office.
Is he dead? Bob Hawke dead?
He is dead. He's yes. Dead, yeah. Yeah. But he lives on in that issue of the Phantom I'm talking about,
and in pictures in a gallery.
But how do you bring back the Phantom? Because it all the attempts are just
they're shaking hands. I think it's so funny because when like. You know, like Captain America meets like Obama. It's like cool, but it's like here the Phantom meets Bob Hawke.
Yep,
I find that really funny.
Yeah,
this is really hilarious. Sorry, go on.
Okay, so a modern day like the one in the 90s where it was still set in the past didn't work. Then they'll do a modern version in the comics. It doesn't work. They do a future version. It doesn't work.
Yep.
Is it because they're just not giving it enough time
to work?
To work,
maybe. Maybe they just need to make a good one.
If you
made it like The Mummy, and it's easy to say, like, just make it like The Mummy or like Indiana Jones.
Just get that magic between Rachel Weisz and Brendan Fraser. Just bring that back.
Bring it back. Carl Urban would also be an established The Phantom at this point. What if Carl Urban was The Shadow?
We should do a Caravan of Garbage on The Shadow. I was just thinking about that.
Maybe we should do Phantom Shadow back to back.
Okay, let's do that.
Flash Gordon? We could do all the
Defenders of the Earth!
Defenders!
Out of the sky! His rockets ignite, gets into battle like faster than light.
Flash Gordon,
Lord of the Jungle, the hero who stalks. The beasts call him brother, the goes to war.
Phantom,
Defenders of the Earth.
Yep.
Thanks, Collings, putting in the song.
Getting everybody. What would you do? That's the thing, because the Phantom doesn't have the juice of like, well, it's the Marvel Universe. And because when when they did a modern day version through Marvel, everybody's attempted, DC attempted it for a while. They did it through Marvel and it wasn't connected to the regular Marvel Universe. So people were like, well, why am I buying into this?
Why do you think it doesn't work? Because of that connection?
Because of the stripy purple pants.
Mm. He doesn't have to have that.
No, you remove, but then people were like, I can't believe they removed his stripy purple underpants.
Remember the bit when he's like, put all the skulls together.
Yes.
And they'll shoot a laser.
Well, first of all, you don't do that. You get rid of that.
You get rid of the skulls?
Yes.
So instead of three skulls, you do two skulls.
No, all the skulls are gone.
How many skulls? But he's got a skull on his ring.
He retains the skull on the
ring. That's the fourth skull, isn't it?
It's the one. There's one skull. There's only one skull.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But didn't that skull in that movie also could direct a laser from memory?
Yes, but that was new continuity just for that movie.
That's a good movie.
It's not, though, is it? It's a bad movie.
It's a good movie, but it's not a very good movie.
Yeah. Oh, and they attempted as well with the live action TV series.
When he was like, I'm not wearing that ridiculous outfit.
Wear a different ridiculous outfit.
It's way worse than the one. Mm. I like the costume. I think it's like, you get rid of the stripy pants or whatever, but I think there's something classic about that look.
I think so too,
which I like, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's do a Phantom reboot.
Okay, we'll do it.
With Carl Urban. Yeah. He'll do it, right? He's from New Zealand.
It's from New Zealand.
It counts, right?
It counts.
Okay, what if you have to get an Australian actor? Can't be Hugh Jackman.
Can it be Chris Hemsworth? Could it be Luke Hemsworth? Could it be the other Hemsworth?
It could be any of the Hemsworths.
Yeah. I think Liam Hemsworth would probably be the best fit.
It could be Grant Bowler.
Could be Grant Denyer.
Could be Grant Denyer.
Yeah, I think Liam Hemsworth would be a good choice, actually. Yeah.
And I think maybe you would have...
I think Billy Zane was a good choice also at the time. I think that's a solid choice.
No, you're
choice.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And I think I would also want to bring in like the legacy of all the previous Phantoms. Like we'd have flashbacks.
Yes.
I think that would be related to, you don't add these weird skull situations, but you show him like interacting with his father and then maybe his father.
What about Jai Courtney?
Yes.
Well, and this is a good one. Dacre Montgomery, who plays the Red Ranger in Stranger Things. I think he'd be a good The Phantom.
Okay.
Chris Pang, he'd be
also,
a good
again,
The Phantom.
It's Dacre Montgomery because he's always dacking people.
Oh, yeah, sorry, he's always dacking, yeah. Yeah, Chris Pang, he'd be a good... I met him that one time. Have I mentioned that? I have. Oh, Kellen Mulvey would be a good...
The Phantom.
Because he's got that scar as well because The Phantom like does some shit, you know what I mean?
You're right, yeah.
Yeah.
I would...
Shane Jacobson.
Look, my money, I reckon
Joel Edgerton?
Too old.
No, it's fine because then you bring in the new Phantom as well. He's got like...
Joel Edgerton, whatever. Jai Courtney. Joel Edgerton, Dacre Montgomery.
Yeah, there you go.
Father and son.
But they can't both be the Phantom, can they?
Well, one's going to die.
Yeah, I know, but like you can... Chris Lilley. You'd only do it in blackface.
Sure would. Yeah.
So, but the rules of the Phantom is you cannot put on the Phantom outfit if the previous Phantom is alive or believed to be alive. Is that the rule? Or could you ever just team up and go, nah, we need two for this?
No, because in the modern-day Phantom comics, he's got kids, and they also wear Phantom costumes, so I don't think it matters. I think they made that up for the movie.
Okay, fair.
Well, they didn't, but the rule doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah.
Because, James, we can do anything. All we need to do is just upset all the Phantom fans.
That's what I want.
Yeah, right?
More than anything else, that is what I want.
God, now I really want a Phantom. Okay, how about this? Because you know how Iron Man...
I knew we'd get stuck on one. Yeah, I know. Who knew it was going to be the Phantom?
Me. I planned it all along. You know how the Iron Man suit in the comic books originally had big red underpants?
I remember.
Well, what you do is you put the stripes on the outside.
Okay.
Of the Phantom, like, so he's still got the stripes, but they're not underpants. They're like a side stripe.
What about
that? I will not budge on this.
Look, I'm not going to push back on this thing we're not making.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What about the dude from Riverdale? He's Australian, the lead guy. He's
a redheaded guy?
He's Aussie.
Is he?
And he's not a redhead.
Anthony Starr, New Zealand.
Yeah, too evil. Like, he needs to get away. Not really. But you know what I mean? I couldn't see it.
Yeah, right.
Because he's still Homelander.
Oh, of course. And I guess that's a lot
but
of work.
But he would do it. He'd be great. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, interesting. What about Alvin Purple? What about Charlie Clausen?
The character Alvin Purple.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get Charlie Clausen
in.
Yeah, yeah.
And if not him, Eric Banner.
Okay. Okay, so it's Joel Edgerton and his son is Charlie Clausen?
Yes. Okay. Perfect.
Love it.
I love it. Yeah. Excellent stuff. Okay.
I hope Charlie appreciates all these roles we make him do. that he's got no interest in, but he would do if they were like, do you want $10 million to be the Phantom? I'm sure he'd be like,
yeah,
I'll do that. Sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'll hold some golden skulls or whatever. I'll pretend there's a laser coming at me from a golden skull.
What about this?
Yes.
Andrew says, I originally had this idea, unless you want to talk about the Phantom more.
I mean, I do, but we can save it for next week. Okay. Our all Phantom episode.
Terrific.
The Phantom retrospective.
I originally had this idea for Dr.
What other prime ministers would you like him to meet? Harold Holt?
Harold
Ask him about the swimming pool thing.
What, you mean when he drowned?
Yes.
Or maybe taken by a Japanese submarine, as the
rumour
goes.
Mm-hmm.
I originally had this idea for Doctor Who, but it could work in any series that's been going on for too long. Keep the original idea and narrative devices. The end. No. So he's saying like TARDIS, companions, Christmas, etc.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You'd have to keep Christmas. But ban them from using old villains, teasing characters' returns, and any manner of destiny nonsense.
So you're saying new showrunners.
Yes. Yeah. Takes away the security blanket and they either have to wait for a really good idea or not bother. That's interesting. Because in Doctor Who, you're like, who's the master? Like,
yeah, every single time,
you're like, which one of these is the master?
Yeah, what episode of the Daleks going to come back in?
Mm. You know,
what episode are you like, there seems to be some crazy stuff happening in this Victorian-era town. I wonder what's behind it. And then you see the plunger appear in the last scene and you're like, oh, it's the Daleks, I guess.
We'll see the
Daleks next week. All right, great. Great. Except now they're different colours or they've got like RAF stripes on them or something. Yeah. Shut up. Get out of here. Yeah, new stuff. Again, it's weird that he can traverse the entirety of the universe. He or she can traverse the entirety of the universe and all of time and space and encounter literally anything, and it's always the Daleks.
And he's always like, but I thought we wiped them out on Axiom 4.
Well, you didn't.
You fool.
We were hiding in a foxhole.
There was one left. Doctor, we must work together.
They have to work together sometimes.
There's bigger Daleks, and they're meaner, and they make fun of us. Help us defeat the bigger Daleks. We get it. That's why you need new. And that's the thing. There's endless.
Yeah.
There's endless creativity out there. But that's. I guess people are people out there being like, we only love.
Well,
it's all nostalgia.
How many of the new Doctor Who villains do people really like?
Good.
Probably
question.
The Weeping Angels would be up there. I dropped off, so there's probably more.
Yeah.
But like, which of them are as iconic as like the Daleks or the Cybermen?
But I mean, the reason they are iconic is because they just kept putting them in for decades.
Because they had the three props.
Yeah, that's right. They had a series of bins and hair dryers, and they're like, let's make some iconic villains.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you didn't constantly, if you left some space for the new ones.
I will.
Then maybe you get some, you know.
Some other things.
Yes.
You got any more? Because I got one more.
No, go ahead.
It's from Just James.
I was just too busy thinking of funny things Daleks could say.
I can't. I just like the idea of a much bigger Dalek. Or there's a bunch of them. And at the end of the episode, you see him come. They're like, "Where there's an ultimate villain, we must team up against." And they're just a really big blood plunger comes around the building. And you at home are just like, fucking Daleks again.
It's a big Dalek. We get it, Scott. It's pushing cars out of the way. The plunger's so big.
It's always a Dalek.
The previous Daleks, you could always defeat them because they couldn't go upstairs. These ones can't go in doorways because they're too big.
They're too big. Not really a reboot, but a Star Wars Legends TV show. It would just be like Jim Henson's The Storyteller. I love that show. With a guy at a bar telling random strangers tales he's heard. Then each director gets to pick whatever Star Wars story they want as long as they can tell it in 15 to 45 minutes. I like that.
Yeah.
Just do some and that way you could get away from any continuity that you wanted to do. You wouldn't have to, tie in anything that's happening ever. For sure. You could tell stories that have happened in Legends or make up your own stuff or whatever. And at the end of the day, you can just be like, some of this is real or it isn't. I love that. Any to end on? Or
you could be like, it's Boba Fett, but he's bigger. He's so much bigger. He's
coming around the corner.
Yeah.
How far down into The Mandalorian and other Star Wars properties until you're like, fucking Boba Fett again? Fuck. And you can't get down or upstairs, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he's clumsy. Yeah. He sucks. All right, is that it?
I think so, yeah.
Should we do the next?
Thank you, everybody. Look, we've got enough material here if we want to revisit it.
Yeah, but what we'll do, we'll do a new post. That's what we'll do.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. But thank you for sending those in. We really appreciate it.
That's right.
And if you want to contribute to the show at all and bonus podcast, bigsandwich.co. What's going up this week, Mason? Who knows? Maybe a movie commentary?
Maybe a
different thing.
Yes.
I don't know. Let's do the next segment of the show.
It's called What We're Reading.
It is.
What are we going to read?
I'm doing the theme.
What are we reading today? Bit of a subtle one.
Thank you. What do you got, Mason?
You know what I watched this week? And somebody mentioned this in our reboots and remakes.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Machete Potts, said he'd like to see a return to The Running Man, directed by Gareth Evans and stunt coordinated and performed by the Raid team.
Is that the Arnold one?
Yeah, I watched it this week.
And?
Ridiculous, but I enjoyed it.
Remember when they changed his face and they thought he died because of computers?
Yeah, yeah. You could do it. I mean, if you're going to reboot
that. What year did that movie come out?
1988, I want to say.
What?
Maybe.
So it was after Better Stuff.
I think so, yeah.
Because I thought it was one of his early ones.
Maybe it is.
Like early, 87, yeah. There that's after Terminator and Predator and.
Mm-hmm. Wild, right?
Yeah, wild.
But I just got a notification on my phone that was like, this is leaving your streaming service in 7 days. You'd better watch it. And I'm like.
You get those?
Well, I'd better. Sometimes. SBS on demand.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
And I'm like, I should watch it. There's a whole sequence at the start where he's imprisoned for a long time.
Doing curls?
Yeah, and they quash it this rebellion and all these guys escape. Mm. I'm like, I'd forgotten this was in this movie. It's dumb, but I like his weird yellow jumpsuit.
the guy who directed this played Dave Starsky.
In Starsky
and Hutch. Directed by Paul Michael Glasser.
There you go.
Fucking hell, there you go. That's crazy. I think so. Otherwise, I've done this completely wrong. Anyway, or he's in it. I started Chew.
The comic book
finally
series,
started Chew.
What do you think of Chew? Because I've read
it's really
Chew.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long is it?
I mean, it's quite long, but we could just do the first for our podcast, The Big Sandwich Classic Comic Book Club, where we talk about comic books. Well, the Chew next, which is an image comic about a guy who he's a guy. He's an investigator. He's a detective. He can learn. If he eats something, he can sort of feel its history. If he eats a vegetable, he can see it being grown and picked and shipped, whatever. But it also works with
anything.
Anything. So if he eats
or anyone.
If he eats a piece of a man, he can sort of figure out how that man was murdered. So he's
I like it so far.
Yeah, right. It's sort of set in a weird world where. Yeah, where that's a thing.
Yeah, so that is a thing.
He's not the only person in the world who can do it, but it's a universe that is just slightly different from our own. That it's like this is a very odd. But the only thing he can't
beets.
The only thing that he can't gain or learn the history of is eating beets. So he eats beets all the time.
Yes. Should we do the next segment of the show then?
Maybe. What have I watched? What have I also been watching? Anything else?
I read that Rorschach comic by Tom King. You know, there's a new Rorschach comic.
I did not. Oh, I'm sure I was tangentially aware of it.
I read it, but I read it like a month ago, so I don't remember enough of it. But I do remember really liking it, like really liking it. So I'll probably reread that again, and then I'll talk about it another week.
Do you think it works in the sense?
Yes, totally.
Okay. All right.
No, it works.
You read my mind.
I like it.
When is it set?
Now.
Post-Doomsday Clock?
Yeah. I don't think that counts. Or it does. I don't know. They haven't referenced it yet. Well, they did.
Okay.
I don't really remember.
Okay.
Ask me in a week when I've reread.
Okay, cool. All right, great. Terrific. All right, let's do the letters.
Yep.
So you have to do that.
No.
Mason, what have you done?
Sometimes I click the wrong one.
Sometimes. I've never clicked the wrong one.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a take away. We're going to hear right now, we're going to do letters.
Hello and welcome to the letter segment of the show, where you can reach the show via the hashtag WeeklyPlanetPod on Twitter.
That's right.
WeeklyPlanetPod@gmail.com if you want to send through a letter to nickmason.com. What do you got, Mason?
Do you think there is? Could you check nickmason.com just quickly?
Sure.
Do you think it's the Pink Floyd guy? I bet it is. This is from Salvador Ocampo Jr. He says, I listen to your show and I'm writing to you. What else do you want? Hey,
that's
boys.
It.
I'm a long-time listener of the podcast and just wanted to give thanks to you two. Don't know about anyone else, but this year could have been a little better. Seriously, though, during a time when things are crumbling, it was great to be able to tune into some red-hot comic book movie news every now and again. I'm also sure my dog thanks you guys, since I usually give him a longer walk than usual when listening to your episodes.
Very good.
Best wishes and thanks from Kansas City, Missouri, USA.
Nick Mason it's not you, it's a different Nick Mason. If you go to Nick with a K, it directs to nicmason.com.
Interesting.
Anyway, sorry, thank you for the letter.
You're very welcome.
And thank you for listening. No, not you,
the
person who wrote the letter.
Well, and he says, P.S., happy to be the official Kansas Cityan of the podcast until I'm dead or until you find someone better.
Done.
You murdered him, James.
Well, that's the aim of the game.
It is, isn't it? That's very true.
Mm.
What do you got, James?
I've got a tweet here. It's from it's a spoiler for the latest episode of The Mandalorian. Do you want me to do it?
Ooh, no, because I'm not up to date.
Then I will leave it at that.
Can you edit around subtly so I don't know?
No.
Okay, great.
I definitely can't.
Okay, great. But
thank you, Bringer of Giants, for that tweet, which I'm not reading it out. This one I just want to quickly mention from David McDonald, who says, have you all watched The Queen's Gambit on Netflix? If so, what did you think? The wife and I just finished it and really loved it. Great acting, writing, visual storytelling all around. Yes, I talked about Unsuggestible, my less successful podcast.
Nice.
There's an episode a few weeks back where I do talk about it. Have you watched it, though?
Not yet, no.
Queen's Gambit.
Okay, I'll put it on my list.
Very good.
It is literally on my list. I'll get to it.
Very good. Before it leaves SBS On Demand.
That's exactly right.
What else, mate?
Here's an email from Reese.
Yes.
It says, trivia, Bruce Willis trivia.
Hey!
I thought you might enjoy this Bruce Willis trivia bit. Bruce Willis went to and dropped out of the same university that I went to in New Jersey. While I was studying there, they invited him back to award him the diploma he never finished studying for. I don't know what he went to school for, and honestly, it couldn't have been that important if they hand out diplomas for it willy-nilly. Obviously, this upset many people because obviously it would. School costs a lot of money. I myself dropped out because I couldn't afford to finish. I wasn't at all upset by this Bruce Willis nonsense. In fact, my takeaway was that there are indeed two ways to finish school. Conventionally, or by becoming a famous actor and graduate much later for publicity on the school's part. And if I have to put in as much effort as Bruce Willis does in his movies, then this option will certainly not be difficult at all. P.S. I'm not asking. I'm the official Weekly Planet guy from New Jersey.
I guess you are. Yeah, that's good. Very New Jersey of
isn't
you, isn't
it? Though? Yeah. Felt very New Jersey, right?
Just want to mention also, we played an audio clip last week of a director making fun of a dude's apartment.
We thought it was Matthew Vaughn.
That was what the thought process was at the time. It was actually a director called Tristram Shapiro. He worked on like Glow and Brooklyn 99 and a bunch of other stuff as a TV director. So, yeah, just to clear the name of Matthew Vaughn. Aside from some other emails we got concerning Matthew Vaughn.
And first-hand stories about Matthew Vaughn.
Which we will not,
read
out of this podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We think he's been through enough being rich and famous and et cetera.
Yeah, that's right.
This is from Hamish.
Yeah.
He says, hey guys, I recently started listening to the podcast when going out on my morning run and it caused a bit of an accident recently.
Oh no.
On my cool down the other day, very important to have a cool down.
Yeah.
I was so engaged in the pod that I failed to realize that there was another runner behind me. I didn't notice they were there until they came shooting past me like a bat out of hell. That's right, it was Meatloaf. I've added that. I was so startled that my whole body flinched, resulting in me running into a lamppost head on. It was quite embarrassing, but thankfully it was nothing serious. I've only ran into a lamppost twice in my life, and 50% of the time it's been your fault. But, yeah, keep up the good work.
But 50% of the time, it's not our fault. It's not our fault.
That's right. Man, we're holding on to that.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're okay from running into a lamppost.
Mm.
Don't do that.
Oh, here's another one who has a great name.
Okay.
Arizona Moonstomp wants to know. Actually, his name's Steve. But that's fine. He's tricked us, but we're into it now. Hey, gents, I've been re-listening to the podcast and I had a curious thought. What is your process when you go see a movie that you plan to talk about on the show? Do you take a notepad with you and attempt to write quick notes in the dark? Do you rush out of the theatre and try to remember everything before you get home? And you both keep track of the specific notes you have about a movie before recording the show?
If I was recording straight away,
yes,
and there was no, which when I used to do movie reviews on YouTube, which I don't really do anymore, I would, and if there's nobody around me, I sometimes like take a note. I don't do that anymore because we now record on like on a weekend. If we watch a movie,
yes,
I just think about it, and if I think of a thing, I just put it in my notes because I've got like 3 days to like think about it, which I think makes for better discussion. And
it does,
and you can form a better opinion because when you come out, you're like and you just like immediately have to like
flashing lights and colors.
I feel like there's times when I'm like, oh, I liked that more than I said I did, or I didn't like it as much as I thought I did, or whatever. So. Yeah, but what about you?
Well, I don't really take any notes. I take notes for Caravan of Garbage now. I never used to, but then it would often, we would finish recording it and I would leave and I'd go, oh, I forgot about the scene with the thing.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely makes it better when, when we both contribute equally. Well, Ben's really doing the heavy lifting.
Oh, boy, when Ben contributes, when Ben gets off his ass and finally contributes. Oh, he has a new song out, Ben.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
As for people who don't know, Ben, the editor of many of your videos, also does music under the name Business District. You can find it on Spotify. He has a new song out. And then they were, prior to this, they were sort of like instrumental ambient kind of things, but he sings on this one.
He's singing a song.
Yeah. And the cover art is by Ryan Smallman, who you might know as has done some Weekly Planet art.
Oh, terrific!
Yeah, so it's great because everybody's working together.
That's all come
together.
Very
cool.
That's all come together.
If you see somebody whose art you like, who's done maybe a Weekly Planet like listener art or something like that, or just harass them, get in their DMs and be like, oh, what? Let's collaborate.
Let's collaborate. You know? Do all the work.
Yes, that's how things. That's how it works best. When we all, you do most of the work.
Exactly.
Yes.
I've got another letter, Mason. It's from Polar Bear. Hey, Nick and James, I'm a big nerd for most typical nerdy things, Star Wars, comics, etc. But I also nerd out about real-life harrowing survival stories, Miracle in the Andes, Essex, etc. What is something not considered nerdy that you nerd out over? I could not think of a single goddamn thing. What about
interesting.
You?
Interesting. I like clothes more.
You do
more
like
than
clothes.
More than a normal human being should, I think.
I listen to a lot of...
not because I'm like, I want to be the best dressed guy. I'm like, ooh, that's a nice fabric.
And I want to touch it and have it.
It's a shaggy Shetland. Yes. I love it. Or a smooth cashmere.
I read a lot about like world events, in particular like relation to global warming, and I find that harrowing and awful.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's a very dad thing to do.
Isn't
books
it
about
just?
War.
War.
Yeah, and harrowing stuff.
No, I'm not really big on war. I know like everyone's dad has like a series of books on World War II, but but not me. not that it wasn't amazing, don't get me wrong.
Oh, God. Real adventure for the boys.
Some people say it topped the first in many ways. It was a big one. But
a lot of people are like, we liked your old stuff, Wars.
Wars.
World War I better than your new stuff, World War II.
World War II, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
I have a series of books.
Yeah.
There's two books. Mm. One's called A Man and His Watch and the other one's called A Man and His Car. And they're basically like, and I'm not a car guy, but it's sort of like coffee table books. It's like a picture of somebody's car or watch or something that's meaningful to them and like the story behind it kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
And so there's one like there's a lot of normal people, but there's also like they mix in like Sylvester Stallone's got like this gold Rolex that was the first thing he bought like when he hit it big, and he's like, okay, this represents this sort of stuff for me, and like
gotcha.
A lot of the cars aren't like, you know, the new Ferrari or whatever, they're just like old clunkers
that
have a lot of history behind them and kind of thing.
That's cool.
And apparently the story behind Stallone's watch is like the guy Matt Hranek is the guy, and he made these books. He was just like, he called up Stallone's people and he's like, can we look at your watch expecting it to be this kind of thing? And Stallone's like, yeah, I'll just send it to you.
Really?
And he just couriered the watch to him and he's like, check it out, take some photos, here's a story kind of thing.
And he was fine with it. Like,
I mean, he's got a lot of watches to go
on.
Yeah,
I know, but that was like the original one.
Watch
that. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm just scrolling through like Reddit to be like, what are some things that I like on Reddit? I mean, uplifting news. you know, there's all, I think I'm in like some photography ones, and a lot of the time, like the photographer's like, check this out, and it's a really clear lake, so you can see the reflection of the mountain.
Uh-huh.
Just that photo a million times.
Interior design. Do you like interior design?
Not really.
Do you like chopping wood?
Yeah, I do like chopping wood. I haven't chopped any wood recently. I like fitness, like reading about fitness and stuff.
But not doing the fitness.
No, I do like doing, but I like doing the minimal amount of fitness required.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm all about like, what can I take? how much do I specifically need to do?
Yes.
If I go this little bit harder now, does that mean I don't have to do it later?
Right.
I do stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah.
So anyway, that's all the things. I'm not good at it. It's just me trying to cheat fitness.
You're trying to hack fitness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you got any fitness hacks, send them my bloody way.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll send them over to the Healthy Mates group, Facebook group, which that's is a spin-off of the Great Mates group. I got one more, but if you've got one more,
no,
you got
go
one
for
more.
A chance.
So my Andrew says, as a father, I say as a father segments of the I enjoy the as a father segments of the show. I think I've mentioned this before, but my son, I'm saying that, now he's saying this. My son, 20-month-old, loves the Letters theme. We've also been having watching a bunch of Bluey. What shows do you watch with your kids? Grab that gem. What would you watch with my kid, Mason?
He seems to like superhero stuff a lot.
He does, yeah. But he's into Pokemon, and he's like, what's this Pokemon? And I'm like, you've picked the one thing I know literally nothing about. I don't know much about Pokemon.
I wouldn't watch that.
But then I'm like, no, that's Charizard. I know that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I know some about some things. Yeah. My brother.
I think for me, though, materially, it wouldn't really matter what we were watching because I think most of his time would be spent making fun of me. So.
Well, as long as he's got a
focus.
We do
a thing where he, like, I look away and he like, does a face or whatever. And I'm like, what's happening over there? I don't know.
So we watch Mason. That's what we watch. Yeah. We watch Bluey, though. Watch a bunch of stuff.
I watched a clip from Bluey where Bluey and his dad went to the movies.
Yeah.
Wait, is Bluey a girl?
Bluey's a girl, yeah.
Okay, well, Bluey and her dad go to the movies and they pay on the pay pass.
I do that.
I'm like, where's he keeping that card?
Yeah, in his butt.
Oh, right.
I do that with my son. I give him the card and he pays. I'm like, this one's on you. But I'm like, but it's actually my money. I tell the people at the register, this is actually my money.
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't his. He doesn't earn any money. I pay for
they
this.
But then they're like, sure, mate, sure. Sure, you're not a deadbeat dad and your kids kicking in to pay for these movies. And also, as I understand it, you are keeping a tally of all the amount of the money you're spending on him. And when he's 18, the bill comes
there
in.
There's a Reddit group, and I'm not in it because it's so depressing, where it's about like insane parents.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've seen posts there that are like, yeah, my parents keep a tally of everything that I ate or did and then turn it back on me when I'm an adult and use it against me. But like if you have a kid, that's your responsibility. Like part of it is that you pay for them.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember the other day, a friend of mine in like high school, he told me that his parents charged him room and board.
My parents did that when I started making money.
Oh, when you first had a job, like a McDonald's job.
It wasn't
job.
Like a lot. It wasn't like half your wage or whatever. It was like, and I hated it. I was like, how fucking dare you or whatever. But to be fair, like, I completely understand. But no, not for like at school.
Yeah, no, this was high school. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, I mean, you've met my parents. They're insane, aren't they?
Yeah.
Nah, they're all right. What's next, Mason? The end of the show?
It's the end of the show, yeah. Thank you everybody so much for listening and telling a friend and subscribing.
Thank you for telling a friend. What's your friend's name?
Huh?
What's your friend's name that you told? Tell a friend, by the way. It helps.
It really does.
It's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Thank you for...
Can't buy that kind of marketing.
I mean, we probably could. Like $1 million. Yeah. If we had $1 million.
I'd love $1 million.
Yeah, me too. If you got $1 million out there, send it to us.
We'd love $1 million.
Just for content, you know?
Yeah.
$1 million. Thank you for leaving a nice review, James. You got a nice review?
Got a couple of nice reviews here. Mason, they can be as brief as this. Mm-hmm. Pretty solid, a 6 out of 10. That's from James Brahms.
Brahms.
This is from Ross Fundy. Says, gem of a podcast. Pointed, real, unafraid of controversy, and full of truth. This podcast goes deep into the issues that we all care about. Where else can you find the hard-hitting journalism and exclusive segments exclusive segments like Hot Scoop or Shot of Poop? We haven't had any Hot Scoops lately, have we, Mason?
That's true, yeah.
Gem of Podcast has kept me laughing for years. Well, then why am I just writing this review now? Laziness. I think James and Meso will understand. Grab this gem. Thank you, Ross.
We will. We do understand laziness.
Yeah, so any reviews help.
That's right.
And tell a friend about your review.
Have you seen the billboards for that? There's a new Bryan Cranston TV series.
What is it again?
It's called Your Honor. And it's basically like he's a judge and his kid does a murder or something like that. And he's like, well, I believe in the law, but I'm also believe in covering up my kid's murders or whatever.
His honor.
Yeah. But I keep seeing the billboard and it says.
That's on Stan?
Yeah. And it's I'm probably watch it this week if it's out this week.
December 6th.
Maybe next
week. It's a mini series. Cool. Yeah.
And I keep seeing that the billboard says Bryan Cranston, Your Honor. So I keep reading it as Bryan Cranston, Your Honor. Like, and I like to imagine it's just the actor Bryan Cranston, and he's just using his Malcolm in the Middle and Breaking Bad money to just muck around in public. And every time he's brought before the judge, his lawyer's like, Bryan Cranston, Your Honor. Am I right? What are you gonna? Come on.
I'm really rich.
Yeah. What is like? We can't stop him. He's too rich.
He's too rich. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
What else, Mason?
Folks, if you want to get in contact with us, you can go to Weekly Planet Pod at Facebook, at Gmail, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can look at all the podcasts on the Planet Broadcasting Network. You can sign up to the newsletter from the great Rob Collings. He's at Raw Collings on Twitter. He's at the Weekly Planet on Twitter. We couldn't do this without him.
We definitely couldn't.
We'd die in a ditch.
We'd die in a ditch.
You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can sign up there if you want to have some fun chats. If you're like, man, I'm isolating. I'm staying indoors.
I want fun chats.
I want fun chats about popular culture. Go on the bloody.
Love a fun chat.
That's right. Exactly right. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm Nick Maso, NickMaseau. James, you're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
Everywhere.
If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies to chuck in a buck. It's good. It helps us out and it's fun to do.
That's right.
But signing up to a new thing is fun.
I agree. And for thebigsandwich.co, the episodes will go up early, first month, because we are covering the Santa Claus trilogy.
That's right.
Leading up to Christmas.
Yeah, sign up to thebigsandwich.co.
Weird. They're weird.
They're a little bit weird.
They're so weird.
They raise a lot of questions that are not answered.
Yeah.
You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description. You click through, get some stuff on Amazon, get it sent to your house.
That's right.
Helps us out somehow. We've got some t-shirts on tpublic.com. Search for The Weekly Planet.
Next week, the episode is going to be, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
And it's just one, we pick a side and one of us goes, yes, and the other one goes, no.
And at the end, it's not resolved.
It's never resolved. And people then we argue do it about next it year.
That's right. We might even record next year's episode next week as well and just bank it.
Yeah, let's do a bunch. Yeah. Just sustain us going, no. Anyway, yeah, it's good. Thank you, The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes.
That's right.
That's the whole podcast, I reckon.
The whole podcast. Yeah, so cool. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. And if you got a topic suggestion, send them in because we're not running out of topics. We're not.
What's a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Which one's a Christmas
movie? Which one's a Christmas movie?
Which one's a Christmas movie?
All right, see you guys.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.